Blog Talk Radio.
Firefly Willows LIVE presents Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path, featuring your hosts, Ivan Teams and John Carosella.
Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path. This is the show that takes you into a realm of new and exciting possibilities for crafting a career to feed the soul and the spirit. I'm here tonight. I'm John Carosella, here with my co-host and career coach extraordinaire, Ivan Teams. Ivan, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Let's go find those stars and people and help bring them forward.
That's what we want to do. And so For all of you out there, we are taking calls. This is a show where you call in and we try to help you with a little guidance on career in general. And the number to reach us at is 646-716-5510. 646-716-5510. Or you can Skype into the show from the show page, Firefly Willows, blogtalkradio.com/Firefly Willows Live. And we are here to support you in embracing change.
And you can play Stump the Host if you want. If you think you can have something that will stump us, we'd be happy to entertain that.
Yeah, well, we are stumpable, but it'll be fun nonetheless. And hopefully you'll have something to take away from it. So just a quick check in on how have you been doing since our last show? What's been going on with you?
Well, I appreciate you asking. I've been having a lot of fun meeting people. It seems like I met a couple of young ladies last week who had a real passion. One had just come from Brazil, graduated college locally, and she wants to teach kids to draw from their heart, not from their head. And I love it when I meet people who have a passion for bringing out the best in others.
No, this draw, when you say draw,
art, as in artistry.
As in art. Okay.
Art.
Because it's also fair to say that whatever it is we're drawing, whether we're drawing up plans or drawing ourselves into relationship with someone or drawing ourselves forward in our career, it's useful to include the heart in all that and all those processes, you know. It always stuns me that I think it was Einstein actually who said something to the effect of the heart is the master and the mind is the servant, and we've forgotten the master and elevated the servant to the role of master, and so we're really drawing and we're very confused about how our lives are. How we should be guiding ourselves in our lives, we tend to guide ourselves through our heads. But as Chief Golden Light Eagle said to me once when we were working out, he said, the heart can't lie. The mind will confuse you. Because the mind can come up with all kinds of scenarios that take you into places where you have doubt and you have craziness and you get to contradictory conclusions, but your heart is what it is. Now, interestingly enough, sometimes your heart isn't clear, but at the very least, that's the place we ought to be looking for first.
Well, that's a good point. In fact, I helped myself become clearer last week where I do some part-time recruiting and got laid off. Most of the company got laid off.
Yeah.
It was a poison palace.
Yeah.
Compared to what my ethics are in business.
Yeah.
So at some point, we get ejected and we're back to choice. And I'm excited again to not be trapped. I mean, the money was going to be the trap and I need it, but I'll find it otherwise. And so many of us, I think, are in jobs that we don't care for and we forget what our joy is.
Yeah.
And the rediscovery of the joy tied to what you're saying about the heart, there's a path there.
There is.
And I could tell stories for hours about people who have gotten to that point. and are following that path, and it's not necessarily about money, but they're loving what they're doing. And they might have a job they don't care for, but they're nurturing that part that's joy, that I also think is a spiritual connection with, whether you call it God, energy, or source.
Yeah.
And it's coming from the heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny you mention this, because when I left high tech, high tech kind of spit me out. I had a pretty good career in high tech. Things were cooking along, and I was doing well, and was taking care of me and my family nicely. And then I just knew that it didn't feel right anymore. And it took me 4 years from the time when I knew I needed to be done before I finally, between a variety of circumstances, including my health, it's just like spirit said, you done, you're out. And circumstances conspired to make my exit most auspicious. You know, from the time that I was leave to the time I actually left, spirit worked all kinds of magic and repaired a whole bunch of my soul parts, and the stock price in the company I was in went up a whole bunch. And, you know, it's like I wanted out so bad, but spirit said, stay until we tell you to leave. And when I finally got the go-ahead to leave, it was like 9 months before I could back it out.
Spirit said, some people might hear is your heart said.
Perhaps, yeah. I mean, you know, my spiritual path speaks to me strongly. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, right, you're listening to
Well, we're here to do something on this planet. Each of us, for me, here to do something. It doesn't have to be a big deal. It has to be something that we feel good about. And part of this whole scene with people losing jobs, changing jobs, getting laid off, fearful of leaving, there's a component of that about wanting to connect with each other more authentically and have more community.
Yeah.
A couple of things I heard last week remind me of that. In the class, when I do some classes, a lady gave me her elevator pitch. I don't care for the term elevator pitch, but we use it a lot. It's your first introduction to someone else.
Yeah.
And I heard her elevator pitch, and my stomach kind of turned, and she saw my face. I said, instead of giving me that speech from your head, why don't you talk to me? Tell me who you are.
Oh, right, right.
And she spoke from an authentic way of who she was, what she enjoyed. And she said, even I feel the difference. She could feel the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a speech from her head. And so we're robots going around connecting with each other.
Well, you know, and it's really fascinating to me, because I may have mentioned this last month, but it's worth repeating. I have met so many people who have gone through a job change or a job loss. They've gone through a job loss, and they're talking, they're sharing how they're looking for a job, but the jobs that they're seeing are not really very exciting to them, and they don't really want those kind of jobs anyway, and yet they have bills to pay and you know, children to feed and all that kind of stuff. Everybody's life circumstances are different, but the bottom line is a lot of the jobs that we think we should be looking for are not in alignment with who we are. They're not, and they fundamentally cause us pain when we try to force ourselves into those shape to be in alignment with those. And I think, Ivan, you've pointed this out in personal private conversations with me many times and with others, that it really is about finding out what it is you love and cultivating it somehow, some way, somehow, reserving some portion of your energy to cultivate that part of you that knows what it loves.
Yeah, and some need assistance in helping us rediscover that, because it was crushed in childhood, crushed in the company. It's there.
Yeah.
And joy, I mean, Yogananda says the joy is within each of us. Sometimes we have to look around for it. In fact, I love what I saw Oprah, a little quote that Oprah gave about joy. She said, basically, it's a sustained sense of well-being with the connection to why we're here.
Yeah, and somebody else said to me, joy is the soul's, is the message from the soul that you're doing the right thing. And, you know, I think we have this challenge of experiencing joy. We don't practice experiencing joy. Oh, you know what? I saw something on, it was Oprah and Brené Brown.
Hmm.
And she said something about the preempting joy with foreboding. Because with the minute we experience joy, we think, oh my gosh, this can't last. Or what could go wrong? What's going to happen next? When's the other shoe going to drop? And we cut off our ability to embrace the joy of the moment, because we don't want to be vulnerable to experiencing that joy and then having that joy go away. And that causes us to not embrace joy.
That's interesting, because it may go away and it might come back 5 minutes later. But it's the fear.
It's
fear.
The fear
permeates
it's
so
the
much
fear.
Of our life in organizations.
It's the fear. It's the fear. It's the fear. And, you know, and they continue to talk, and Oprah asks, so what do you do about that? And Brené said something like, well, the solution to that foreboding is gratitude. Because if you allow yourself to experience that joy and immediately place that in the category of something that you are in the moment grateful for, then you can enjoy it for as long as it lasts, because you're reflecting, you're basically cycling it through your gratitude circuit instead of through your fear circuit.
Now, and that's a good point, because that positive is always available to us. And I'm not just saying that as a theoretical thing, it's something I went through this week, because a lot of changes in my life.
Yeah.
Concerns about money,
yeah.
Normal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, my daughter finished her first year of law school. My son's graduating high school. I meet these wonderful young folks at East West Bookstore. I have a passion for life. What could be better?
Yeah, really.
And so the joy's there. It's accessible no matter what our circumstances are.
Well, yeah.
I mean, so for most, real extreme circumstances are different. For the most part,
well, you know, that's if we go to a Buddhist meditation, what in this moment is lacking? Now, so for most of us in the West, what in this moment is lacking? You have air that's clean or relatively clean to breathe. You have access to fresh water. You have clothing. You have services that are available, public services, public safety net. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, in this next breath, what is lacking? Oftentimes, the answer is nothing. And it's our projections about, our fears about what's going to happen after this breath, that put us into the state of anxiety. And Mark Twain, one of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain, something like, I've lived through thousands of tragedies in my life, most of which have never happened.
But what's that, 99% of what we're afraid of never happens, the other 1% doesn't matter?
That's what I heard. I like that one. That's great.
I think you're tapping on the listening, which I've been working on. I read some more about it this week. We could listen. We don't have to talk. My son, when he was younger, I think about 11, said, Dad, I can't listen. I always want to say the next thing. I said, you're speaking for the world with that wisdom. That's what you said. What's lacking in this moment? What's stopping us from simply listening?
Yeah. And listening is a powerful...
Isn't that what people want? Isn't that the formula in my book, Care, You Have the Power? The Care formula, first one is, I feel listened to.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's a component of trust.
So let's we're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk about some of the principles of care, and in particular, I feel listened to, because I think we often, well, we'll talk about it when we come back. Short break. We'll be right back.
Firefly Willows LIVE invites you to the following event hosted by James Moran. James provides the monthly astrology outlook every second Sunday morning on Revolution with Heisey Luttmers, here on Firefly Willows LIVE.
Hello, dear listeners. This is James Moran from the Astrology Update on High Seas Revolution. I'll be hosting a networking event for any practitioner of holistic and esoteric healing arts, anything from feng shui to Feldenkrais to tarot, astrology, Reiki, whatever it may be. This is a networking event in the Bay Area so that we can get to know each other as a community. I'll be giving a brief talk. There'll be a panel discussion with different practitioners, including High C. It's this coming Friday, May 31st, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at Cafe Aquarius in Emeryville, California. 1298 65th Street in Emeryville, California. And once again, this is a networking event on May 31st from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at Cafe Aquarius. So very excited to see you there, and thank you so much.
If you have any questions or would like more information, email James at james@jamesmoran.co. That's James at jamesmoran.co.
And we're back. This is Embracing Change, the Joy of a New Path. I'm John Carosella, together with Ivan Teams. And, you know, I think, right before the break, you said something. We were talking about listening, and you talked about how important it is to feel listened to, right? And I think we were talking several months back, and I said something about people need to be, you know, that we need to care about people, something like that. And you said, yeah, but that's not enough. You said they need to feel it. And, and you just shared something on the break, like, I care about you. And you said something like,
what? You care about me. I need to feel it.
I need to feel it. And I think that's really powerful, that the notion of real engagement between people is not theory. Right? It's... It has to become real on the ground. And how do we know it's real on the ground? If you don't feel it, you can't. It's not real, right? Because until you feel it, it's theory. It's in your head.
I think feelings are real.
Yeah.
Feelings are real. I talk to a lot more strangers than I used to.
Mm.
I made up a term for the job hunters. They'll often say, it's who you know. I'll say, yeah, that's true. It's becoming who you don't yet know. So my term is the yet knows.
Yeah.
No.
So what do we do? Like, how do we aim ourselves for those yet knows that we really need to get to become knows?
Well, the truth is we might not want to in many cases.
Yeah.
We might want to stay in our shell. We want to be safe. But to answer your question, we hear the term networking was kind of a buzzword. To me, networking is about giving and receiving. It's not about asking for something. And networking can – how we meet the yet knows is we look at someone and give them an authentic compliment. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's authentic, they're either going to – well, people are either going to say thank you or you're weird.
Right.
I've not had a single person say you're weird, and I've been doing this for the last couple of months a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, so.
So it opens a conversation.
Yeah.
Because the person feels there's some interest in them. They might be busy.
Right, if they're busy, they won't engage particularly, but that's okay. Even though, what have you done? What have you lost? Nothing. What have you gained? You gained the feeling of having given somebody a compliment that they appreciate.
Yeah, but you have to, yes, that's true, and you have to really be genuinely interested in what they're saying.
Yeah.
And because they're going to feel the difference. One of the young ladies told me at the bookstore, she said, I could tell whether a guy's hitting on me or being authentic. I think most women can, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
So because I'm old with gray hair, they don't think I'm hitting on them, so I get away with it. No, I thought that, but it's not. It's there's something about the authentic that opens a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's usually fun. We want to have fun.
I think people miss... You know, this is one of the things that bothers me about networking events at least the ones that I have been to in the past, and my attitude, my own personal attitude in them, is I always felt like it was work. And I think I'll say that I understand how networking events can be awkward, because the people that are there aren't there to have fun. They're there to make progress on some
goal. They're looking for something.
They're looking for something, right? And I think the people that really get the most out of networking events are the people that go with an authentic desire to meet interesting people. You know what I mean?
Well, the people I see having fun are doing what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're having conversations, having fun, they're interested in each other. And if they exchange cards or emails or phone numbers, it's the follow-up later that they can ask for something,
right,
if it doesn't come out in the conversation.
Right, right. I think that's another thing that people miss, is that you don't have to close the deal at the networking event. All you have to do is make an authentic connection that's gonna be a live wire when you touch it again. Right?
Well, yeah, it is. And to me, a lot, and I'm guilty on this one, in networking events, I'm looking at you and say, oh, that guy can't help me, I'll go talk to the other guy. It's like, everybody's there as a candidate to have a communication of some type with.
Yeah, well, and you don't have to spend, 2 hours with the same person. In fact, that's the whole point, is that you engage for a little while and see where it takes you. And if it doesn't feel authentic to you and it's not stimulating you to engage more deeply, what do you do?
That's a great question, because people have asked me in seminars, if somebody goes on and on, how do you get out of it? But I think in the networking event, what works is we want to feel appreciated. So the person wants to feel acknowledged. It's like, John, I really appreciated hearing all that good information, and look forward to following up with you. And then I'm looking forward to meeting a few other people too. So thank you very much.
That's pretty simple. I'm looking forward to meeting a few other people tonight. So, yeah,
I loved meeting you. You might not say it that way, but just be polite about
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
You are so boring, I don't want to talk to you.
No.
You want something, you want everything, you know.
Well, okay,
feel good to talk
to
you.
One of the cardinal sins in reaching out is to be needy? It's like to want to get something from somebody? If you go to an event and you're obviously for a reason, you're investing time and resource in yourself of yourself in going. What's the thing that kills that for people, that makes it a non-productive event?
I think if we come across needy, it comes across in our energy too.
Yeah,
it comes across that way. I like to say, don't look for a job when you're looking for a job. Plant seeds and build relationships.
Yeah.
However, that's easier said than done, because if someone's desperate and needs work, they're feeling it.
Right.
That doesn't mean they have to come across that way too. So it's okay to feel what you're feeling, and you have to get above that and connect and be interested in the other person.
Well, I think, yeah. So I think this is an important nuance here that maybe our listeners can benefit from. It's okay to feel what you're feeling, right? It's okay to feel needy and desperate if you're needy and desperate.
Well, I think it's mandatory.
Right.
Because that's what you're feeling.
Right. Yes. And so in essence, you're feeling it whether you're acknowledging it or not, right? But I think there's something else that can happen, and that is, in being authentic, you can be in a place where you have needs, but you can also be in a place where you're willing to be a gift to someone else. And that might mean just something as simple as listening or paying them a compliment or smiling.
That's
right?
True. And it takes practice.
And why does it take practice? Let's talk about that for a minute. Practice.
Well, anything, whether it's sports or something new, or when I first started leading seminars, I know it was pretty boring because I was talking from my head, not my heart.
Hmm.
So when we're doing something new, anything new, did you hit the ball over the tennis court the first time perfectly? No, you practiced.
No, right.
So what's different about learning to connect with people when we haven't been trained to do that very well, that we shouldn't maybe we don't call it practice, but we should be willing to be okay with making mistakes sometimes and seeing what works for us.
Yeah.
We have to forgive our mistakes.
And, I think this is a time for me to pull out the quote from my buddy, a long-term friend of mine, who said to me, John, have the courage to fail. Have the courage to fail, because it is in failing that you exercise the limits of your capacities. If you're not willing to fail, you won't get to the edge of your skill.
Yeah, I've read it. I don't know if it's true or not.
By the way, I've done that very, very effectively on the ski slopes. When I was first learning to ski, I failed a lot, and I was okay with it.
Well, that's why I like the Winston Churchill quote, success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm.
That's a cool quote, actually. Failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. And I think what that offers us the opportunity to do is recast the notion of failure completely. Right? What is failure but an experience in not achieving a goal? But the goal is an arbitrary goal. We pick those. We sign up to those. And we don't have to view them as sacred things. We don't have to view them as things that must be obtained or my self-worth is diminished. You know what I mean? Like, every time we say, I failed, we're implying something about who we are. Instead, we should say, I experienced not achieving my goal. My goal was just a goal.
Yeah. Well, there's a sense of humor. I heard a trainer last week talking to folks about interviewing. And he was very good. He's a former rock musician. And he was working on people being authentic. And one young, sharp sales lady said, you can't be playful in the interview. And he said, why not? That's who you are. Be playful. People want to work with people they enjoy. So it all gets back to the truth, honesty, who we are. Like, I could go up to someone at a networking event and say, excuse me. It'd probably be a female. simply because it would be easier. I'm really uncomfortable talking to strangers, and I was wondering, would you mind practicing with me a little bit?
That's a hard thing for somebody to
do. Oh, it's really hard. It's really hard. But you know what? You get away with some of that stuff sometimes. It can be outside the box.
Yeah, it can be outside the box. I think...
But we're stuck with wanting to do it right. That's what I want to get away from, what we were talking about earlier.
Yes. We're stuck wanting to do it right instead of wanting to do what... How our heart is guiding us.
Yeah, I like what Lee Glickstein said once about people who are public speaking. He said, that ties to what we're talking about. He said the audience is all rooting for you to be successful.
Yeah.
And they've got so much nonsense going on in their own heads, they can't even hear what you're saying half the time because they're stuck with their own thoughts.
Yeah, everybody's got their own story. Everybody's got their own story. So some part of what Embracing Change, the Joy of a New Path is about is recognizing that the very notion of change as something that's difficult is programmed. We don't have to know, we don't have to feel that change is difficult. The only reason we feel that change is difficult, well, I should say the only reason, one of the reasons we feel that change is difficult is because we are more or less successful. We are not failing at what we've been doing. However you want to couch that, however you want to frame that, the thing that we're doing is reliable.
Yeah, it creates uncertainty.
And change creates uncertainty.
Yep.
But uncertainty isn't intrinsically bad. It's just unknown. And we're an intelligent species. We have this amazing cranium full of processing power to analyze data and analyze sensory experience and make judgment calls on what's happening next. We don't have to be afraid of change. We can embrace change as the delightful variety of life that it is and dispense with the notion of failure.
Is that the caterpillar going through the dark to become the butterfly?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a big change.
That's a big change. But on a more micro level, it looks dark. It looks a little scary. It looks uncertain. And there's something at the other side. That quote I mentioned once before, the pain of every change disappears when the benefits of the change are realized.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to see that till later. You don't see it till later.
Well.
Oh, yeah. That's why I got fired.
Well, and I guess, you know, part of that is, what is the nature of the pain?
Mm.
Because a lot of times the pain, you know what? I was having a conversation with a bright young woman, really special person. And I was talking from the heart with her about, you know, about change and about how do you face change and so on and so forth. And I said something like, the way to do it is to get to the place where you are willing to accept the consequences of either choice, right? Staying where you are or moving on, right? You know, changing jobs, whatever. You're willing to accept the consequences. And she said, I don't like that word. I don't like the way you're saying that. And so, you know, it's all about this consequences being negative and so on and so forth. And she said, look, here's the bottom line. Anything you let go of makes room for something else. And if you believe in a benevolent universe, whatever you've made room for is going to be good. Now, okay, so there's a benevolent universe at some level, but at the same time, letting go, it is true that when you let go of something, you make room for something else. And if all you do is hold on to that thought that the letting go has made room in your life for something else, that was a real opener for me. It's like it was an expansive statement. And that a kind of expansiveness that I could embrace, that I could say, yeah, okay, it might not be the same. It might not be the same kind of experience that I've been used to, but it has made room for something else. And I get to be part of the co-creative process that determines what that something else
is. Right, but in the traditional business world, that's not the way most people think. Some people think that. I just had a little insight about what you said. That when we most feel the pain is when we're not contributing to others and we're blocked. That's just a feeling I just had. Just maybe want to explore that. When we're contributing to others, we're not feeling pain. You don't feel pain when you're giving to others. And people are blocked from contributing and not feeling appreciated in business a lot.
Well, yeah, I think yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And you know, because I'm watching some people enter the workforce and they're experiencing the corporate world for the first time. And young people, I'm telling you, man, young people are in a very interesting place. They're so much more awake. In my experience, what I'm seeing is they're so much more awake than I was when I started my career, that they look at what happens in companies, in corporations, and they're like, this is what business is? This is stupid. People do stupid things in business. They do all this dysfunctional stuff. Why are they doing this? This doesn't make any sense. And what they're really pointing to is that people are not honest. They're not honest within themselves about the motivations for why they're doing what they're doing. And it came to me in another way, a separate sort of meditation that I was doing, and it really comes down to identifying where does it hurt. Think about the pain you're experiencing as you're going through change. Where does it hurt? And I won't say most of the time, because there really are very painful experiences, you know, very painful changes that people go through. But a lot of times, where it hurts is in your ego. And that's a very dispensable pain, right? We don't have to let our ego be a source of suffering. You know, it doesn't have
Firefly
to
Firefly Willows, L-I-V-E, invites you to...
Sorry about that. So it doesn't have to hurt. We don't have to suffer the pain of ego wounds, because the ego is not real. The ego is not something that we have to protect or hold on to at all costs. Just not let it bother us. That's similar corollary. It's a corollary to this, the idea that there's no such thing as failure. Failure is only the not achieving a particular goal, and that goal is something that your ego has placed in front of you. You don't have to. That doesn't have to be your truth.
Was the Lisa computer a failure at Apple? Because the guts of the Lisa became the Macintosh.
Right. Right. Everything is connected. You know, you tug on one thread in the web, and the whole tapestry moves. So. Well, okay. I think it's time for another short break. In spite of that preemptive button pushing on my part. So we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
At Firefly Willows LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us. Host a show or be a guest or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable change makers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE. Helping you find and shine your inner light.
Welcome back. This is Embracing Change. I'm John Carosella, here with Ivan Teams. And so we are available for your calls. We would love to hear from you and have you share your stories of the changes that you're facing. The number to call is 646-716-5510, 646-716-5510. We'd be happy to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. There's more from us on Embracing Change. When I was prepping for tonight's show, I came across this fantastic poem that really is kind of a reality check poem that I want to share. It's called Straight Talk from Fox, and it's by Mary Oliver. Mary Oliver is an American poet laureate. She's one of my favorite poets, if not my favorite poet. And it goes like this, Straight Talk from Fox. Listen, says Fox, it is music to run over the hills, to lick dew from the leaves, to nose along the edges of the ponds, to smell the fat ducks in their bright feathers, but far out, safe in their rafts of sleep. It is like music to visit the orchard, to find the vole sucking the sweet from the apple, or the rabbit with his fast-beating heart. Death itself is music. Nobody has ever come close to writing it down, awake or in a dream. It cannot be told. It is flesh and bones changing shape, and with good cause. Mercy is a little child beside such an invention. It is music to wander the black back roads outside of town, no one awake or wondering if anything miraculous is ever going to happen, totally dumb to the fact of every moment's miracle. Don't think I haven't peeked into windows. I see you in all your seasons, making love, arguing, talking about God as if he were an idea instead of the grass, instead of the stars, the rabbit caught in one good teeth-whacking hit and brought home to the den. What I am and what I know, and I know it, is responsible, joyful, and thankful. I would not give my life for 1,000 of yours. And what I get from this poem about that what Fox is sharing is the intensity of a life lived in the moment. And you know that there's intrinsic to a full life is risk and loss. And it's all part of the grand scheme. It's all part of the grand machinery that makes life rich for us. And I think when we contemplate embracing change and don't see a way to find joy in it, we're missing what Fox is talking about here. That adventure is essential to our fulfillment.
Right. Well, in some ways, finding our joy would be the catalyst to initiating the change, to be on that path.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about that very much. I think that's important. I think people are afraid to make change. They're afraid to step into change because they don't really know what they love.
Yeah, when I do my transferable skills class, people come in there and I ask what they would like to do. And pretty much nobody can answer it. I say, fine, everything you have is transferable. Now, what should we talk about? It's like, what do you want to transfer to? Well, tell me what's there. No, that's backwards. Who are you? What's in you? Rediscover that. Be on that path.
So what do we recommend for that? How do we get people to, how do we inspire people to discover those things?
Well, it's not a flip your finger answer.
Right.
It takes a little work.
Yeah.
A little exercise they have is, for example, write down 10 things you really enjoy. Don't filter it. Get them down.
Yeah.
Could be something about your job.
Yeah.
Could be Legos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be like the outdoors. Get it down. Start looking at it. See what patterns there.
Do we reject the notion of this because we feel like somehow that's childish?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, in one of the seminars, one of the guys, a very shy engineer, spoke up and said, you know, I really love Legos. And there are about 100 people there, but I can't do that in my work. The audience picked on him and said, Legos? You're an engineer. You're thinking Legos all the time. And he said, you know what? I really am.
Yeah. Yeah.
We may not see the connection. Well, anyway, back to your question. It's I heard Phyllis King talk about that. She has three radio shows, and she does a lot of intuition. No one she asks can answer the question. Here's what she has. Really?
Yeah.
That's what your experience is? Because I run into a lot of that.
Well, I think that's.
So that's the first step.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you find it? Well, I don't have a theory answer because I think it's situational and individual. It depends on the person. But the first thing sometimes is at least get it down on paper and start feeling which part of it do I really enjoy. Oh, I remember in childhood I was doing this and I really loved it.
Mm.
And there's something there.
Now, something that you've said in the past about... Oh, gosh, I just lost the thought. Darn it. Doing what you love. Writing it down.
Well, I'm talking about one of the young ladies I met over the weekend who's saving money to go back to college.
Yeah.
And had a very challenging background and works with kids a lot. The wisdom I heard from her surpasses most people with degrees about working with kids.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she has
yeah,
to go
yeah.
get a degree to work with kids at the level she wants to, and I'm going, you're hired.
Well, okay, so there's a certain kind of enlightened hiring that has to happen, and that starts with the employers, right? I mean, we can't the folks who are looking to change careers, they're looking to change jobs. There is a challenge when the institutional walls are up, right? And I think we've talked about this in the past too. You can't tear those institutional walls down. You have to walk through them.
You have to learn how to market yourself to an employer, which is that's a class in and of itself.
Well, but to me, marketing yourself to an employer sounds like theory, whereas meeting someone in the place where you want to work and getting to know them and showing an interest sounds like practice.
That's right on. That's
right.
Actually what I meant by marketing.
Yeah.
Go connect with people who have an affiliation with what you want to do. And get in however you can and move along the path, but get in.
Okay.
But you can't do that through the traditional resume mill if you're changing careers.
Right, right. All right, so it looks like we do have a caller, so let's check in with our caller and see if our caller from 780 area code.
Hello.
Hi. You're with us on Embracing Change. How can we help you? What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Jay calling from Canada.
Jay calling from Canada. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome.
So how can we help you?
I don't know. I'm just listening to your show. It sounds really, really interesting. I have the notion, too, about change. So it actually, you know, I was watching the movie The Matrix, the third version, and at the end of the movie, it's the person, Neo, I think it's Neo, was saying it's inevitable, or what is this, you know?
Inevitable,
yeah. And what? And I just discovered, like, oh, I get the movie now, because I couldn't get it before, because it's like, oh, change is inevitable. You know, can't say the word.
No. Yes. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And I didn't. When I watched the movie, I'm going like, what's going on here? Because I didn't understand the end. And yeah. So he didn't fight it. He just allowed it. And that was really, really interesting at that movie at the end. So.
Yeah. And you know, there's a letting go that he has to let go. You know what I mean? He has to not try to hold on to what he knows. He has to let go into the unknown. Which is a powerful skill to cultivate, right?
Yeah.
Are you going through some change yourself, Jay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I went through a lot of changes last year and just cultivating change in my reality, what I love to do. So, and just go with the flow right now. So, that's where I'm at right now with it.
Did you go from something stable to something risky?
No, I had a number of job changes last year where they opened my eyes and I had to confront some issues that was causing the issue. So I can actually bring peace to a lot of things, personal peace, actually, and family peace, too.
Yeah.
And until I did that, it showed itself in plain sight. And, basically, I had to do it, unless if I didn't do it, I'd be where I was before. And I just feel that... I think that's where a lot of people are at right now. Some people are didn't deal with their stuff last year, and it's coming up this year, and the chaos is still there. So that's the reason I think a lot of people are scattered or not really committed to doing stuff right now. Just, I would say, putting out the fires right now. So
And there's a lot of fires out there to be put out.
Yeah, I know. And for myself, it was a good time right now to. Just to cultivate peace and practice right now, I just find that I had to practice peace through meditation and things like that, and yoga, which I do. And,
yoga is awesome. Score one for yoga. I'll recommend yoga. I recommend yoga to almost everyone because it's so powerful.
Yeah, and what's really interesting is that stuff I'm going through right now, the changes going on, and what I'm learning through tantra yoga, which is not sex, is through the elements, actually, how we're all connected with the earth elements. You know, using the earth elements to bring about peaceful change. You know, working with the air element, water element, fire element, and
yeah. I had a cool experience with understanding the elements as rates of change. You know, that air is very quick. That when you're experiencing an air elemental kind of experience, it's quick and it's light and so ideas are very air. So you can change your mind, you can change ideas really quickly. Fire is the next level of, I guess, density or viscosity, and so it moves quickly. It can move quickly. It doesn't always move quickly. Sometimes it smolders, but sometimes it moves quickly. But it requires a cooperative substance in which a fertile environment, in a sense, it requires fuel, right, in order to keep going. And water flows, so it's very persistent, but very gentle. And earth is that even that more solid kind of thing where it has a, it's mutable, but it's also very stable at the same time. And so as we look at the kinds of changes that we're experiencing in life, if we can examine them from the perspective of those different elemental viscosities, like the rates of change, the rates of dynamism in them, that can be helpful. Was that what you, was that kind of what your experience was with the elements?
Yeah. Just you know, looking at how I'm working with the air element right now through yoga, and it's really, really interesting how it's swift and stark, like a tree. You know, when it gets blown around, and the tree's, you know, limbs move back and forth. It's interesting how we have nature to really teach us about change.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy that Fox poem so much, is because, you know, it's all about the natural cycles, and, you know, we're not immune to those cycles ourselves.
Yeah, this is serenity, or seems like serenity about you from the way you're speaking, and an awful lot of people in the traditional business world look on holistic things as weird or airy-fairy. And the truth is, what's weird is the unnaturalness with which business creates so much fear.
Yeah, and
that's what's unnatural. I just haven't said it like that before.
Yeah, you're right. Right, business creates fear. Why? How? Why does it happen? What is it about the nature of business that is an artificial stimulant for the creation of fear?
I feel that there's been a lot of studies done on the human being regarding what pushes your buttons the most and what will create the reaction to do something. I think it's that's the reason why they do it.
Oh, so you think it's part of the demand generation exercise, the like getting people to buy your product or, you know, scaring them
into business.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty ugly.
Well, my background in service was creating people feeling appreciated. And it only worked 100% of the time.
Well,
and it translated to the customers too.
Yeah, but every service organization you went into was totally fear laden, right?
When I got there.
Yeah, when you got there, right? So there's some bad habit, there's some bad program or something that creates that fear laden place.
Well, yeah, and the simplistic answer for me is it gets back to what nurtures each person and how can we support that and make sure the job gets done. And it's unique for each individual. Like you said earlier, we won't do theory, but each person has something unique that they wanted to do. And in our organization, we found ways to do that a little bit. If they did it a little bit,
they were satisfied for a while.
They were happy because they felt like they were growing. And that, what's that Webster's definition of spirit, the animating life force, believed to be within living beings, they're growing.
Yeah.
They felt it.
Yeah.
They weren't looking for everything to be perfect, but they wanted that part of them that was excited about something to be nurtured.
Yeah. Jay, how are you nurturing yourself through this change? How are you feeding yourself?
Well, for sure, lots of rest and meditation.
And yoga. Yeah, meditation and yoga.
Being out in nature, meeting, you know, friends and stuff like that, and just staying away from people most of the time. I like my aloneness, I'm not alone, but just like my peacefulness right now. I have to enjoy it because it's just it's that time period where I just watch. But yeah, just give yourself a hug also to it. You know, just love yourself. Give yourself a hug too. It needs to change. That's where I'm at right now.
Good advice.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, anything else you wanted to share with us tonight?
No, I feel that, like, you know, in the movie I was talking about, the Matrix, you know, change is inevitable. Oh, boy, I can't even say that word. Inevitable. There we go. And I find that it's not to be... If you don't have a spiritual practice in place, even though we have, you know, being awareness experience or as a human being to be have a spiritual, human being having a spiritual experience.
Except we're a spirit having a human experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So and
spiritual being and, having a human experience. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. And I find that it's we have to acknowledge that side of ourselves, which has always been part of ourselves, and not to ignore it and to to be really investigative about it, and not, it's not a how would you say it, a simple process. It can be a, it can be hard sometimes too, but it's, it, it'll lead you to liberation.
Yeah,
that's what it, it's all about, I feel, just liberation. So as my teacher said.
Yeah, well, being liberating yourself from the ego. I mean, we talked about that earlier in the show, how a lot of times, you know, tell me where it hurts. Oh, it hurts in my ego. That's, and that's a disposable pain. You don't have to have that pain. So, all right, Jay, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, thanks very much.
You're
Jay.
Very welcome.
Have a
yeah, great show. Thank you.
Thanks. All right, so we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back.
As promised, we're always thinking of ways to bring you a fresh new perspective. Check out this lineup of our newest shows. The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Luttmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella, on the first and third Tuesday evenings each month. The brand new Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path, with career coach Ivan Teams and John Carosella, the fourth Tuesday evening of each month. What's Your Prescription for Balance, with Mildred Lynn McDonald and her co-host, Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday afternoon each month. And Evolve, with Robin White Turtle Lisney, the third Thursday afternoon each month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
Welcome back. This is Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path. I'm John Carosella, here with Ivan Teams, career coach, and what else about you?
Good question. I just get excited when people are going for what they want in life and want to help with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I would love to create positive business environments that would support that more often.
Yeah. All right. But okay. So let's talk about some of the nitty gritty here. On the break, you had a hypothetical, but not, it's not a hypothetical question. You had a really real question that people come up
with. One I hear a lot.
All right, let's throw it out there.
I don't like my job. In fact, I hate my job. I need the money, though. What do I do? I want to be happy.
Mm. So what do you tell them?
We have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're into the thing which only works. It's an individual thing.
Yeah.
We need to find a little more. Well, what I tell them is let's examine or explore what it is you enjoy. Let's see if we can find out some of those things that feel good to you.
Well, you know, what came up for me when you said that, when you posed that question was, what do you need the money for? And I think that's it's actually a really challenging question to invite somebody to address, because, you know, not in every case, but in a lot of cases, we express the need for a lot more money than we actually have to have. And the consequence of that is that we enslave ourselves to, for example, a job we don't love. Now, what do you need? If you're a single person, you need to find a place, you need a place to sleep, and you need food and transportation and a place to bathe, right? But that's not a lot. There's a lot of things that we accumulate around our lives because we have been convinced that they're important, but they're not essential. They're nice to haves, but not must haves. And digging really deep into those places where we talk about what we need.
We are. We're getting Madison Avenue and Wall Street and all the stories. There's another part, the job part I want to mention too. It may not be that they hate their job. It may be that they hate not being appreciated for what they do. And that exacerbates the situation. It might be this way to make it work. better than it is right now. Could be more of a win-win.
Well, that's a challenge in one sense because that's a two-way street. That's not something that the person who's suffering can unilaterally resolve. They have to get the cooperation of their environment.
Well, yeah, and one of my personal goals, give me any organization in the world where morale's low and they want to fix it, and we'll do it so quickly they won't believe what happened. The key part is they have to want to fix it, which means they have to listen to what's going on and take action.
Now, why wouldn't they want to fix morale problem?
Well, that's a good question. Again, it's different answers for different people.
I think maybe because in fixing the morale problem, some of their own dysfunctions might be uncovered.
Yeah, or if you're, I won't name names, but the heads of some big software companies with their big egos want it that way, and they're successful. So who can argue with success? And lots of people have jobs. But they may also think, if I'm going to deal with this, great, I need two consultants and four trainers and a six-month study. I don't want to deal with all that. I just want it fixed.
Yeah, yeah.
Flip a coin. Well, it actually can be fixed much more quickly than most people think. And I have personal experience with that and have studied that. So I think part of it is their resistance. Or they've seen trainings in the past that it was almost worse having the training than not having it because it built an expectation and then no was a result. Because what never was created was what we talked about earlier. When I feel you're listening to me, I trust you.
Yeah.
Without the trust, it ain't going to move forward. You got to create the trust. And you can't walk up to people and say, just trust me. They'll trust you through your actions. So there's a mechanism to understand what's going on with the people, what's going on with the people in charge. And usually there's a significant difference between the two perceptions and bringing them together.
Yeah.
I challenge you to give me a company that wants that fixed, and we'll fix it very quickly.
That'll be fun. So those of you out there who are suffering with an organization that appears to be causing you pain, Ivan is your guy. How do people get to you, Ivan?
Well, the contact information is on my website, Ivan, IvanTemes.com.
IvanTemes.com, IvanTemes.com.
Yeah. And you can get the free 11 commandments of care there.
Yeah, good. All right, well.
And what I'm saying is not my theory. I went through it 3 times personally and studied other people who did it that way.
Yeah.
And it was magical the way it happened because they started with, oh, I trust you.
Well, so that's the other thing that you are, besides a career coach. You're an organizational therapist. Healer. Yeah.
I like to call it organizational healing.
That's good. And God knows we have a lot of that needs to be done. And a lot of people, when organizations are wounded, the people in them suffer. So it's good to get those things cleaned up.
And that's important for our youth because, as you said earlier, they're seeing the way it really is.
Yeah,
they don't want that.
No, they don't.
The businesses who are more adaptive to what their people want and how they want to be part of it have the potential to be more successful.
Yeah.
And if they're not, at least it's a little more fun to get up every day and go there.
Yeah. And okay, and just briefly before we wrap for the night, back to that question.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'd really like to make a change. I hate my job, but I need the money. What do I do?
Well, you better start, I'll use the word networking. What I mean by that, if let's say you're a logistics person, you talk to lots of other companies on the phone, or you're a salesperson, you meet lots of other people from sales organization. Start getting to know other people, not for a job they might have, but for a connection that could potentially lead to a job. Because you can mention to them, if you guys have something going on in your company, I'd be interested.
Yeah, but what if they don't like that work? What if they don't like that line of work? Maybe it's not their company; it's their role.
Well, they can keep the job, and I talk to people at art fairs all the time, and they seem to enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
And many of them came from the business world, and many of them are still in the business world and doing this on the side.
Yeah.
So the only answer I have is back to what do you enjoy? How can you nurture that? Go to a class. Be around artists. Be around book writers. Write a book. Everyone has a book in them, whether they believe it or not. The publisher told me that.
Is that right? That's pretty cool.
Arts and crafts. You have to get to the point of. I mean, if you're a single mom with 5 kids, you're busy.
Yeah.
Okay, you're busy. So being realistic about it. But if you have some time, there's no excuse for not taking a class or volunteering. Volunteering is a fabulous way to do it. Volunteering is something that you enjoy.
And I think that I give people this kind of relationship advice all the time when they are crying for their soulmate or, you know, for a better relationship or for a relationship that they enjoy. I say, go participate in activities that you love doing, because in those activities, you will find other people who love doing those activities.
Yeah.
And so they're likely to be compatible with you. They're likely to have similar interests or still at least have that in common with you. You know, so and that can lead you to a community of people that you might find your soul in. And in particular, what happens if you're doing something that you love, you are shining. And so you become more attractive as a being because your spirit is shining through you.
Well, we also have to look at people from our love, not through our judgments of them. I heard Phyllis King speak recently, the same lady I mentioned earlier. She said, I found my soulmate. I was married twice. And my soulmate is 16 years older, balding, a little pudgy. It wasn't my picture, but boy, he's my soulmate and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
So she's not looking at him through her judgments anymore.
Yeah, that's cool. And the reason I brought that up, you know, is I think the same is true for finding a job that you love. You know, you've mentioned earlier in the show about, you know, this person that you spoke to that knows more about taking care of kids than the degree that she has to go get is going to teach her, and she knows it already. And you know, I think that there's the gifts that we have, and we'll talk about this in an upcoming show, discovering the skills, the transferable skills that are hidden in your experience. If you go and hang out in environments that are doing and participating in the things that you care about, the transferable skills that you have will naturally emerge on the spot because you're bringing your whole self. Whereas when you're working a job you hate, you are not really able to bring your best self because part of you is protecting another part of you. You're holding part of yourself back away from the pain.
Well, and you may have to be persistent. You're like, all right, you go to an art class, you say, that wasn't it. Well, maybe that art class wasn't it. And maybe there's a different art class, but it may not be a magic one to fix.
Or maybe it's not an art class. Maybe it's not an art class, but it's a crafts class. Maybe it's not a class, but volunteering to set up an art and wine festival and, you know, getting to know the artists. I mean, there's so many ways in which our willingness to participate and contribute in a collaborative, co-creative endeavor brings out the best in us when our soul is aligned with the mission.
Sure, and we see thousands and thousands of youth sports coaches all over the country.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know, so go it really does come down to reserving a part of yourself to give to something that you love, and ideally doing that in communion and community with others. That will lead you to finding the thing, the next thing. And it'll be more aligned with what you love.
Yeah, and everyone has something within themselves that would be a benefit to someone else. And not everybody thinks that, but they do.
Right. So I think at this point we're probably in a place where we can call it a show. Shall we?
Sure. Okay. I think that's a great idea.
All right. So that's our show. Thanks for joining us.
We'll be back next month, the fourth Tuesday of the month.
And that next month is June 25th.
Great. 8 p.m. Pacific time. And meanwhile, join us on our Facebook page.
Facebook.com/embracingchange, finding joy.
For community events.
And sage advice from Ivan.
And John.
Okay. So until next time, folks. Embrace change, find joy in that new path. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows LIVE for Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.